Welcome to Meals for Maturity, Bible talks to help you mature as a follower of Jesus, by Pastor Dom Fiocco.
Well, friends, it's my joy and privilege to open God's Word at the weird, wacky, but wonderful book of Ecclesiastes. I say Ecclesiastes is weird, wacky, but wonderful because it is. Here's a taste of what I mean. Here's just some few verses you'll find in the book. I declare that the dead, who are already dead, are happier than the living who are still alive. I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All is vanity, a chasing after the wind. Meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless. A man's fate is like that of an animal. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so the other dies. All have the same breath. A man has no advantage over the animal. Sorrow is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. It is better to go to the house of the mourning than to go to the house of feasting. A living dog is better than a dead lion, for the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. See, I told you, weird, wacky, wonderful. Now, perhaps it might sound like the reading of Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, if you know that famous work, with quotes like, "The ships hung in the sky in much the same way that bricks don't." Or, "Space is big, really big. You just won't believe how vastly huge, mind-boggling big it is. I mean, you may think it's a long way round, a long way down the road to the chemist, but that's just peanuts to space." And 42 said Deep Thought with infinite majesty and calm. Weird, wacky, wonderful. Now, if you've never read Ecclesiastes, it will surprise you with what's written in there. It's stuff you actually just don't expect the Bible to be saying. Now, some people down the ages have concluded that Ecclesiastes somehow slipped into the Old Testament when the publishers weren't looking. But people who say that forget that this is part of the Bible that Jesus read. And thankfully, it stayed as part of the Old Testament canon of Scripture. And this has got to be one of the best quotes about Ecclesiastes that I've come across. One writer says, "Ecclesiastes is like a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle taken from its box, thrown onto the floor, and then kicked around by the kids." And yet, for all its strangeness, weird, wacky, wonderful, the book of Ecclesiastes is perhaps the most down-to-earth, straight, honest, hard-hitting book in the Bible. It's been called the most contemporary book in the Bible, speaking to every generation. One writer says Ecclesiastes is the only book in the Bible written on a Monday morning. And it will force us to ask some big questions when it comes to life, the universe, and everything. And it doesn't give us the answer as 42, if you know Douglas Adams' work. Ultimately, the book of Ecclesiastes will force you and me to ask the big questions like, well, why go on living? And what is this life really all about? But before we dig into this Old Testament book hidden away in the middle part of our Bibles, for this intro Bible talk, I want to help us prepare well to understand this most unusual Bible book. And one of the best things you could do is really to find time to sit down and read through the 12 chapters. It'll probably take you about 45 minutes, maybe a little bit longer. Before we start this series of Bible talks, which will be based on the ESV text, I want us to think about the book as a travel guide to life, the universe, and everything. So just as you pack your bags and get ready to drive your car for a big journey, let's do the same for this part of God's holy word. We need to program our GPS to help us on the road we'll travel. But unlike some streets around where I live in Canberra, with various new suburbs and estates sort of popping up, this GPS actually works and has up-to-date coordinates, so we can get around without hitting a roadblock or a roundabout that doesn't exist. So let's get our bearings right as we come to this part of the Bible. So before we turn the corner and start in chapter 1, the next episode, let's program our GPS. We need to type in 4 key inputs before we start our trip. Firstly, get on the wisdom highway. Now, if you've read parts of the Bible before, you'll probably be familiar with the gospel stories about the Lord Jesus, the life, death, resurrection of Jesus. Maybe you're familiar with some of Paul's letters about Christian life and doctrine. You're probably familiar with some good Old Testament stories, you know, overweight kings getting stabbed while sitting on the toilet, or giants getting knocked down with slingshots, or women taking baths on rooftops, or donkeys talking, that sort of thing. Maybe you're even familiar with some of the Psalms or poetry. In the last series of Meals Maturity, we looked at Psalms 146 to 150. But maybe you're less familiar with the biblical genre called wisdom writings. You know, the wisdom books, some Psalms, some Proverbs, Song of Songs, the Book of Job, Ecclesiastes. They show us how we're to respond to God's word and commands when it comes to living wisely in God's world. And Ecclesiastes is on the wisdom highway. Now, over the years, I've met some wonderful Americans who've come along to churches here in Canberra. And when they arrive in Australia, they have to learn to drive on the proper side of the road. Otherwise, things might get a little messy. Americans have to concentrate. They have to adjust their thinking to cope with how to drive without causing grief to other drivers coming toward them on the right side of the road. Well, it's a little bit like that when it comes to Ecclesiastes. You have to concentrate. You have to adjust your thinking. Wisdom writings, you see, speak to us sometimes in riddles or short sayings or proverbial lines. Wisdom writing will use metaphors, picture language to get across certain truths. It'll use rhetorical questions and parallelisms and opposites. It'll use hyperbole and exaggerated speech. By the way, exaggeration is a billion times worse than understatement, but then I spend 500% of my time exaggerating. I think I'll stop there. Ecclesiastes, you see, is on the wisdom highway. Now, most likely, King Solomon, who writes lots of Proverbs, is the human author behind the book of Ecclesiastes. We aren't told directly his name. He goes by the Hebrew title Koheleth. In English, that's preacher man. And across this series, I'll just simply refer to him as the teacher. But at the end of the day, whether it's Solomon or not, it doesn't really matter. It sure sounds Solomonic in the way Ecclesiastes is written. But don't lie awake worrying too much about whether it's King Solomon or not. Importantly, it's inspired by God, and that's what really matters, and it's part of the Bible that Jesus read. So the first thing about our trip in Ecclesiastes, program your GPS to put you on the wisdom highway. Secondly, program into the GPS that we are driving east of Eden. Now, what I mean by this is we're no longer in the perfect, wonderful, God-present, sin-absent Garden of Eden. This part of the Bible is written after mankind has been kicked out of the Garden of Eden. So we're east of Eden. We're after Genesis chapter 3, the fall of mankind, when sin and death and tragedy and turmoil enters our world. Darkness, loss, decay is the backdrop of God's world now. Fear, injustice, gloom, the reality of death, all these things, we can't avoid them. In Ecclesiastes, we're on the wisdom highway, and it's taking us east of Eden, that is away from and out of God's good garden. And so across this book in the Bible, we'll be confronted with life in a world where tears and heartache and pain and relationships break down and cars break down and there's house break-ins. All these things happen. Where death comes knocking on the door of a child still in the womb. Where cancer can cut short the life of the fittest teenage boy. Where a girl on a uni campus might go for a walk at night and be abused or even murdered. We're in a book in the Bible where toil and sweat and repetition and frustration abounds, and that's on a good day at work. We're in a book where loneliness can strike even when a person is in a crowded room and hardly alone. Where futility and meaninglessness and despair can blow into your lounge room at any moment while you're watching a movie. in my reading for this series, I picked up a book from a theological library. The book was called Useless Beauty, Ecclesiastes Through the Lens of Contemporary Film. Basically, the book looks at movies made in the early 2000s, that's when the book was published, and almost all the films picked by the author are depressing and futile and empty. They leave you feeling like you've just watched a train wreck derail in a town that's devastated by sin and selfishness and under the Satan, the governor. Most of the movies mentioned in this book I've never watched, and I never plan to. I think life's too short to watch terrible movies. Besides, I can just watch the news if I want to be totally depressed, or I can pick up a Woody Allen film. You know, Woody Allen, who says, "I think that at best, the universe is indifferent, at best." But what this book did for me, Useless Beauty, is it highlights some older movies, but there's still plenty of movies that keep coming out touching on the many themes mentioned in Ecclesiastes. But what it did was just another reminder that Ecclesiastes is taking us on a journey east of Eden. We're driving and living east of Eden in the book of Ecclesiastes. And therefore, we're surrounded by a world of sin and sorrow and shame, which we all contribute to. A world where we all find ourselves sinning and being sinned against and rejecting God's good ways. And then, of course, having to live with the consequences, often living with pain and brokenness that comes with that sin. We're living in a world that is groaning under the weight and consequence of human rebellion. All's not well in the world, and we're all part of the problem. And so Ecclesiastes calls us to have an honest and real look about being human in a fallen, broken, sin-infested world. We're driving east of Eden, and it's a long way removed from the good, perfect garden. But at the same time, into our GPS, we need to plug in this coordinate. That is, thirdly, we're to look out the window as we drive and observe the world around us, which is God's world. So as we drive down the Wisdom Highway east of Eden, make sure you look out the window and see a comprehensive world outside. It's saying, don't just drive 100 miles an hour, set on cruise and letting AI take over so you can snooze. No, instead, enjoy the trip and look around. So across Ecclesiastes, we see, we observe. That's a big theme across the book. 47 times we're told to see, to look, to observe what's around us. And as we look out the window, whilst concentrating on the road ahead, of course, we see life in the city, in the fields, in the gardens. We see life in the temple for worship. We see life in the funeral home or death in the funeral home. We see the family home, the bedroom. We drive past the courthouse, seats of political power. We look out the window and we see battlefields, but also places of entertainment. We see people laughing and weeping. We look out the window and we see, "This is my father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their maker's praise." As we drive along and we hear the soundtrack of Ecclesiastes being sung, we see many elements of life in God's world. Money, power, sex, religion, relationships, work, rest and leisure, life and death, growing old. Michael Card, the great singer-songwriter, has a song based on Ecclesiastes. He calls it Under the Sun. He was a king, a teacher, and the wisest in the land, driven by passion just to know and understand. He opened wide his eyes, sought to see beyond the lies, and found a world beyond his understanding. Into our GPS, where to program, make sure you look out the window and observe the world around us. And be prepared to live with the paradoxes and confusions that sometimes confront us. Be prepared to deal with the little cartoon about the editor who says, "Mr. Dickens, either it was the best of times or the worst of times. It can't be both." But actually, looking out the window, driving down the Wisdom Highway east of Eden, we find often it is. We live with the grit of life and the gift of life. in our Father's world, we observe the best of times, and often in the same 24 hours, the worst of times. Which leads us to the final entry for our GPS as we drive along. That is where to drive with the right glasses on. And the right glasses you need to wear are the special edition sunnies called the Jesus glasses, or cross-centered glasses. As we read and study this part of God's word, we need to know that ultimately it points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though through the 12 chapters, they don't mention his name, they're pointing us to see him. And even though the New Testament never directly quotes this book of Ecclesiastes. You see, like all other Old Testament books we read and study, wearing our Jesus glasses will actually help us get to the final destination. Without wearing the right glasses, as we get to the end of chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, without wearing the right glasses, there's a good chance you'll end up in a ditch somewhere, or maybe you'll hit a cow, or you'll break down in the middle of nowhere, or you'll even drive off a cliff in total despair. We need the right glasses on as we drive, so we can deal with the frightening terror there is in life east of Eden. And we can then also rightly admire the fragile beauty there is in God's creatures and creation. And we can ultimately arrive at our Lord Jesus Christ, who brings us purpose and meaning and beauty and joy and fulfillment, even in the midst of our broken world and messed up lives. You see, putting on our Jesus glasses, we get to see the happy ending, the final destination. Even if sometimes your car breaks down or your EV battery goes flat or your kids throw up after a drive-through Macca's. Without Jesus glasses on, we see the book of Ecclesiastes is ultimately pointing us to the one true wise man who can, of course, fix up the mess we're in because of our sin and rejection of God's ways. Jesus, of course, tells us how we're to read Ecclesiastes and every other Old Testament book. So, for example, Luke chapter 24, verse 44, we hear Jesus saying, "Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms and writings, including Ecclesiastes, must be fulfilled." Or in John chapter 5, verse 39, he speaking to the Pharisees, he says, "You search the scriptures," that is even Ecclesiastes, "because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they," even Ecclesiastes, "that bear witness about me." And wearing our Jesus glasses, we get to see and observe that even though the New Testament is not quoting Ecclesiastes, it is pointing us to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42, where Jesus condemns the Pharisees and the scribes for not seeing properly? He says, "The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, someone greater than Solomon is here." Jesus is the ultimate wise man. Not only does the New Testament show us that Jesus is prophet, priest, and king, but Ecclesiastes is pointing us to see Jesus is also wisdom personified. And remember Paul writing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 24 and verse 30, where Jew and Gentile in the New Testament world are craving after wisdom? Well, what does Paul say? "Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. In Christ Jesus, he becomes to us wisdom from God." See, Ecclesiastes is pointing us to see how Jesus fulfills all wisdom writings. Finally, Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 sums up things perfectly when you've got the right glasses on for the journey. "In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Ecclesiastes is pointing us to see how Jesus is the wisdom teacher par excellence. The 20th century theologian Karl Barth apparently listened to the music of Mozart often, and he was found to say, "I find in his music a joy that overtakes the sorrow without extinguishing it, where the yea rings louder than the nay. That's what reading Ecclesiastes with the right glasses on does. We still live in the world of nay, but seeing Jesus, the yea, or the yes, the amen, rings louder than all other voices. Like every other book across the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes is pointing us to the gospel of salvation, where our only hope, our only safety is found in the mercy of the Lord Jesus. Well, okay, as my usual practice is before we start a series of Bible talks, this one's about bringing you an introduction talk to whet your appetite, to tempt your taste buds, or even better, to program your GPS so that we're all set for the coming journey ahead. So four entries for the GPS. Firstly, get on the Wisdom Highway. It's a free road to travel, so start your engine. Secondly, realize we're driving east of Eden, which means into a world stained and straining under sin. Thirdly, as we drive along, make sure you look out the window and take in all that you see before your eyes and ultimately observe all that the teacher does in Ecclesiastes. And fourthly and finally, the best way to learn and the best way to travel is to put the right glasses on. For through the lens of Jesus, as we journey in Ecclesiastes, we'll see the true embodiment, the true personification of wisdom. We'll see the ultimate wise ruler who defeats sin, who conquers death, who crushes Satan and his domain. But remember, even though I've tried to give us this intro talk and make some sense of what's going to come before us, recall the quote, Ecclesiastes is like the 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle taken from its box, thrown onto the floor, and then kicked around by the kids. So I'll do my best if you come back next time, and I'll try and find some starting pieces, and hopefully some of the puzzle will start to look something half decent.
Thanks for listening to Meals for Maturity. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.